Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20, verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 144 and verse 15. In a previous study, we discovered 10 characteristics of God. God is eternal, He is living, He's true, He's mighty, He is ever-present and all-wise, a God of love and of comfort, of peace, mercy, and grace. All these traits are such as we think about with rejoicing. They're pleasing to us. They're comforting to us. But friend, there's another side to God that the Bible reveals. Paul wrote in Romans 11 and verse 22, "Behold the goodness and severity of God." And so in this part of our study, we're going to look at some of the more severe characteristics of God as Scripture reveals to us. God is a jealous God. He said, "Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Deuteronomy 5, 8 through 10. God wants His people completely devoted to Him. He disallows any other god or image or any such thing. He will not share first place in our hearts, and He will never accept second place. We must also note that the sacrifices that God commanded under the old law were to be of the very best quality. No lame animals, nothing maimed or blighted in any way could be used, but only the best. And also in the New Testament, God demands the best. He said, "I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." Romans 12 and verse 1. Repeatedly, the Bible reveals the anger of God against half-hearted, lukewarm, indifferent, and a sloppy kind of work and service. The New Testament stresses the jealousy of God when Jesus taught that you cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6:24. We must make a choice. Either God is first, or we do not serve God acceptably. In Matthew 10 and verse 37, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Attempts to give God anything but first and best reveals our lack of wisdom and knowledge about God that we propose to worship. But again, God is no respecter of persons, but is exacting and demanding of all. Never was this more forcibly brought out than in New Testament times. We experience evidences of racial hatred and tensions in our own society, do we not? And yet, in the first century, racial strife was very much in prominence. For many centuries, the Jews were God's chosen people, a special people because it was through that nation that the Christ was to come. But after the cross and the establishment of the church, God has no special people by virtue of race or nationality or ancestry. But in every nation, them that fear God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Acts 10, 34 and 35. Peter, who was a Jewish Christian, was sent by God to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, to preach the gospel. And Peter remarked, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons." Friend, we can be glad it's that way. Otherwise, it might be that we would be the ones left out. Paul wrote, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." Galatians 3 and verse 28. In Christ, Christians have become God's special and holy nation. Some evidently feel God shows favoritism to men because of who they are and their race and their color and their education or their financial situation or their social position. They think because of these things they're special. Some think God bestows special favors by sending them direct revelations and enjoying direct operations on them by the Holy Spirit. Some think they're saved in special ways different from that which God has directed. Why they think they should be saved apart from the will of God is not clear. But the Bible teaches we all shall be saved the same way. And when each one stands before God in judgment, each one will be judged according to his own works, whether it be good or bad. God is no respecter of persons. But the Bible also tells us that God is a God of vengeance. Hebrews 10 and verse 30, "For we know him that said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense." Now, vengeance means the affliction of pain due to injury received. It's payment for evil that's been done. Now, some might say that they would never worship a God who would harm anybody, but they do. They worship money and pleasure. They worship other men and self. Some say God would never punish anybody. Well, they don't know the Bible. They simply do not accept the God of heaven. They would have us worship a God that treats good and evil with the same reaction. Some ask, how could God be merciful and gracious and a God of wrath and vengeance at the same time? Well, God is merciful, as we have learned in previous lessons. Now is the time of mercy, friend. He pleads and he beckons and he offers salvation. But the time is coming when the day of mercy will end, and judgment and justice shall take its toll. We read, "Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." 2 Thessalonians 1, 6-9. God is just, and justice demands that evil be punished, just as it demands goodness be rewarded. And through Christ, we can be made good and receive the reward in heaven. But to defy Christ is to invite God's wrath and God's vengeance upon ourselves. And again we learn, God is a God that cannot be mocked. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. My friend, he that soweth to the flesh, you're going to reap damnation. Such is the teaching of Galatians 7 and 8. Now, to mock means to ridicule and to scorn and to deride. You may even treat God that way for a time, but it is certain that nobody shall ever get away with it. Some seem to think they can ignore God and it makes no difference. But such people someday will find out just how wrong they've been about God. Some seem to think we can sin now and repent later on, and then all will be well. But friend, you shall pay, because we reap what we sow, even if we do repent later. Because sin leaves its hideous and horrible scars on our lives with the regret that we have offended God. We too often act as if God somehow will forget our evil. We have convinced ourselves he's so loving and so good that he will not punish, but we forget the biblical affirmation that God is not mocked. And we deceive ourselves to think so. Hebrews 12 and verse 29 also tells us, "For our God is a consuming fire." Now, among the many uses of fire, it can save from the cold. With it, we can prepare our food. There are other benefits. But there is also the power to destroy and the power to consume. Even as it can purify by heating water, boiling and killing harmful bacteria, It can help by burning trash and other undesirable substances. Fire will consume that which is deserving of being consumed. And heaven and earth shall melt with fervent heat, and all the unpleasant things before God shall suffer. The fire that can save is also the fire that can consume the wicked and the evil. Matthew 10 and verse 28 says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." And we would remind you, God is a God that hates. Oh yes, God is love. But the same characteristic of God that enables him to love also enables him to hate. Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19 reads, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth mischief, and feet that be swift to running in mischief, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren." Proverbs 8 and verse 13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil." God hates everything evil, and he loves the good. He could not be a lover of good and the lover of good men if he did not hate the evil which can destroy even good men. And while hating sin, God loves the sinner. He condemns sin, but offers to save the sinner. But make no mistake, there are those things that God hates, and those that love God hate what God hates, and they love what God loves. But let us mention but one final trait of God. God is our refuge and strength and very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, and though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The hymn we sometimes love to sing has the sentiments, "There is a place of refuge for every troubled soul, where tempests beat no longer, where billows cease to roll. A calm and quiet haven, a harbor safe and blessed, where storm-tossed barks may anchor, where weary hearts may rest." Friend, God is our rock. God is our refuge. Seeing all these things about God, how could we but not worship him? And is it not true, happy is that people whose God is the Lord? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker, Jim Boyd. Until next time.